And I welcome you once again. I'm delighted to be sitting in for George, and I hope that he is enjoying his holiday wherever he may be, probably in the cave. I wouldn't doubt that, with the entire family doing ritual dances of one sort or another, as one does at the turn of the seasons. The beginning of winter, right? I want to apologize publicly to Professor Sitchin. a little while ago I was bragging that I've been doing this show for more than 8 years, or going on 8 years. And I just totally misread the clock. Just totally misread it. And I thought I had two or three more minutes, and I had some questions I was going to wrap up and ask him great profundities, right? Things that nobody ever has asked him before. And what happened? I blew it. I just blew it. All right, well, in this hour, I'll try not to blow it again. We're going to be talking with Colin Andrews. You may know that Colin is a well-known researcher and author. He's widely acknowledged as the world expert on crop circle phenomena. We'll talk about why he is in a little bit. His scientific investigations are responsible for much of the current information available on the subject of crop circles. This is, to my mind, one of the most misunderstood of the phenomena that we put under the umbrella of paranormal. Colin is an electrical engineer by profession, a former senior officer in the British regional government. For 3 years, he advised the British government on the crop circle phenomena. As a result of his work and his effort, Colin's life has not been all tea and crumpets, as they say. And as a result of that, there is a movie about to be made about Colin's life and crop circles. It's going to be called Circular Evidence. We'll talk about that, but in the main, I want to talk about something that Colin has been holding back for some 15 to 20 years. He has not told the story. Find out, relative to crop circles, find out why he has not told it and why he is now willing to reveal it to the millions of people that listen to this program, Coast to Coast AM. So let's get to it. I am Hilly Rose, sitting in for George Norrie. Hilly Rose in for vacationing George Norrie. And also vacationing is Colin Andrews. So, Colin, I want to thank you very much for interrupting your Christmas vacation to spend these hours with us.
My pleasure, Hilly.
You're coming in loud and clear, so I thought you were in some remote area. Don't tell me where you are, but I had understood you were in a remote area, but the telephone line is very good.
It is a long way from where you are, that's for sure.
That's for you. And is it cold where you are?
It is, yes it is. Well, there's another clue.
All right, that's very Christmassy anyway.
That's right, looking forward to that, Hilly.
Good. Colin, the reason, well, there are any number of reasons why I wanted to talk with you tonight and spend a number of hours with you, actually. So I hope you are well fortified there with water and tea.
The tea is brewed. We're ready.
Very good. So, as I said earlier, your life hasn't all been tea and crumpets.
No, it hasn't. That's for sure.
We'll get into all of that. But I want to, first of all, what's the word I want to look for here? Qualify, dignify, verify. Why you have the reputation you have as being the preeminent researcher into this strange phenomena called crop circles? In other words, what have you done over the past, 20 years that make you such an expert?
Well, first to say, Hilly, that it is not I that has blessed myself with such a title. The media often do, but the facts are that I began in 1983 to research the phenomenon because I just happened to come across a set of five circles near Winchester, where I close to where I lived, just driving between my offices. And
in England, you're talking.
Really, right, yes, in England, near Stonehenge, and that really was the beginning of the research. But during the time that has elapsed between then and now, you know, I've traveled the world to many countries to research, to investigate on the ground the same mystery. You know, I've written, co-written the first book and other books on the subject. I've provided technical and scientific reports to the Undersecretary of State to the British government in the Margaret Thatcher government, advised other well-known people like Lawrence Rockefeller, for example.
Well, you were on a grant from Rockefeller, weren't
yes,
you?
Yes, I was.
For some 3 years, as I recall.
Yes, that's right, Hilly.
And you wouldn't talk to anybody during all that time.
Well, no, because unfortunately, you know, Mr. Rockefeller himself, and it wasn't from the Rockefeller Foundation, it came from Lawrence Rockefeller, was very interested and willing to fund specific projects directly related to crop circles, but didn't want his name really basically dragged in. So the fact that he was funding it, and I felt that I wasn't really at liberty and he wasn't particularly keen to be very public, although the results have been made very public. So there are 3 years I basically disappeared pretty well and made an announcement at the end of the three-year period about the percentages of the events in England that I felt, based upon the research, one specific project that was funded, you know, the result basically was that about 20% had no clues whatsoever of people having made them. That was a Rockefeller-funded project, and that was really where I re-entered the public arena and where I began to receive the very heavy end of the parts of the public, mostly the research fraternity.
Well, let's
didn't accept that result.
All right, let's stop right there for just a moment, yeah. Colin. I am constantly amazed at how many people don't truly understand what a crop circle is, and how many people who do believe in crop circles, who've read about them, who don't understand that so many of them are made by humans.
That's right.
In fact, the most beautiful of them all, it seems to me, are made by humans. You and I know many of the people who literally make them, and we've talked to them, and I have, and they, you know, I keep saying, why are you doing this? Why do you go out there in the field and try and fool people? And I guess they get their jollies doing it, right?
They do, Hilly, but you know, it's what they're doing also, in my opinion, and of course everything, almost everything I say, you know, really doesn't, it shouldn't really be believed, you know, it's there for others to get out and check. All I'm doing is offering what I believe and what I've learned in the way of information. But you made a comment in setting this segment up that it's the most misunderstood subject, and I totally agree with you. It's most misunderstood because it has, within the confines of the actual subject itself, a material-like symbolism that draws to it deep inner feelings and passions. You know, we see here and have seen the installment and institution of basically a religion built upon people that, and I'm not going to be knocking anybody throughout this. It's not my job. It's never interested me to counter other people's points of view, but all that I can say is it's misunderstood, in my opinion, because we have not embraced everything we're looking at. We have broken this down into what do they mean? Well, that sort of infers that all of them are genuine. I mean, if we're spending our time on what do they mean, rather than why did John or Bill or Doug and Dave make this particular design, who makes them? This is really how we've approached it, rather than I would put my hand up and confess that I came very late onto this too, is to embrace everything, including, and this is the piece where it gets very controversial, including the people that make them. In my view, if this was intended to be at this time in our evolution, then it was intended to involve people. It was intended to test the deception, the ability to understand what was in the minds of those people. Whose mind, in fact, are we looking at?
It gets deep,
and I guess we'll get that.
Let me jump into that to say that I've interviewed, gosh, I don't remember, 3 or 4 people who, you know, told me that they made crop circles and why they did it. But without exception, Colin, they said to me that in designing, they go on their computer and they design these fractals and these gorgeous, gorgeous crop circles.
Yeah.
And without exception, they have said to me that they feel other directed in doing it.
Yeah.
Which is the point that you were on.
Absolutely. And it's part of, you'll hear this side of it come out in the Blackbird information later too, Hilly. That is the point. It's when you think of something, how much of that thought is yours and how much is not. It's how are we guided through our evolution and through our lives. I think it has to be very, very broad-minded here. I mean, I think one example of really trying to make more clear what it is I'm saying is this. Now, again, the listening audience will either believe or disbelieve, and that is their prerogative. But this is why I'm still here researching this after 22 years, and this is my example, which tests what it is I'm saying here. There was this one particular evening on a Sunday, I remember it clearly, in the 80s. I was going through a very, very, very difficult period with my first marriage, and I was laid on the bed, and I'm just giving you the facts, in Andover, England, very close to Stonehenge, where I then lived. And this is me, Colin Andrews, just me, I very clearly focused my thoughts upon a design, very simple Celtic design, which had never appeared, as far as I know, anywhere on our planet before, not as a crop circle. I had seen the others, and at that time, I think 3 of us were the only people looking at them. I had looked at this, and what I said to God, and again, that's a whole other subject I know, I prayed and I asked for this design, and this is what I said, this design to appear in a field as close to my home as possible. Now, what I'm telling you is a fact. I know it can't be tested and checked. What I'm about to tell you can. The next morning, in other words, that night, it might have been at that instant, I had a phone call from Jeff Smith, who might be listening, a farmer in southern England, who phoned me up. We knew one another. They'd had crop circles before. In fact, we had researched one there a short time before, saying to me, we're harvesting a field, one of the very last fields to be harvested in September, early September, had just come across another design. He described that design to me, and the hairs raised on my face, because within 2 hours, Busty Taylor, as we all know Busty, the light aircraft pilot, has been so helpful in this whole thing, took me up in the aircraft, and over the top, we had hours to research it, because they were harvesting. And I looked down on that field, and I cried, because what we were looking at was indeed the pattern I asked for in the field as close to my home as was possible, as fields that had not been harvested. Now, that's why I'm still here. I spend my life now trying to convince, in a way, people to believe some of the phenomena that has surrounded this. And this is why I believe it is so important to embrace the hoaxers, the people that are making them, and why they think to do it. Whose thought is it? I did not make the Celtic cross that night. And if Doug and Dave made it, remember this was the Doug and Dave period,
yeah.
And they had admitted to me in front of the Today National newspaper, who broke their story, incidentally, that they did not make it, then if somebody else did I plant that with my mind, that pattern, into their heads? Did they, in planning to make that, put it into my head, or did something else? That's how wide and how deep this subject is. So when a hoaxer, or crop circle makers, as I think they prefer to be called, when they decide upon a design which fits into a theme which is appearing around the world, there's another problem. Whose thought is it? I mean, where are we going with all this? That's why I think it's misunderstood. is because we've broken ourselves down into camps of believe everything and everything's wonderful to sell books and movies and all the rest of it. Who's making them?
Well, let's go.
Is this one real? Is this one man-made? Is that one?
Let's go back before we run out of time here,
yeah.
Colin. Let's go back to the point you claim, because of the Rockefeller research, that 80% of the crop circles are man-made and 20% we don't know what makes them. Now, where does that come from? How can you give me some kind of scientific percentage like that?
Yeah, well, of course, that's rounded up. I mean, 2080, it was like 20.25 or whatever. That's rounded up simply for dissemination. It simplifies it, that's all. The figures, the work, the background, the clues on what all this was based upon is in an assessment CD. That's been available. Very few people, I think, actually want to see it because they really don't want to believe what's in it. That's available, Hilly, as is all of the backup to what I'm saying from the website that I think you've got posted right now. It's called the Assessment CD. It shows that we do need to be a little bit more specific, actually. It was 2080 to 80% man-made in England during the period 1999-2000. That's not a worldwide figure. That was those patterns that were researched extensively under that grant of Rockefeller's in England only for the years 1999 and 2000. It is thought that it's a fair representation of the global situation, but of course, that has not been tested.
You haven't quite yet told me.
No, I beg your pardon. Okay. Really, what I was saying is...
I've got 2 minutes here, Colin. What is it based on?
What it's based upon is this, that people making crop circles were being tailed. We had private detectives and agencies looking at individuals we already knew or suspected as making them. So that's physical, practical, on the ground. And so, in fact, some were filmed with low-light cameras making them. So that's backup hard evidence. We were looking for pressure on the soil, tracks in damage to the plants. The pins that were being placed in position to construct them at the fulcrum points. There were many, many practical and indeed aerial photography that showed the width of these tools that we then could see on the infrared and low light cameras that they were used making them. The width of the tool under their feet making them can be seen from aerial photographs, as can still be seen, incidentally, in many of the very gorgeous patterns we're looking at this year. So there's a lot more to that.
Okay, but the 20%, you're saying there's no evidence whatsoever.
No, none at all.
There's no footprints, there's no, nothing to show that man has been there.
That is right. In that period of time, and remember, I've also traveled the world. I've been out to Taiwan and Japan, into Mexico, Brazil, up into Canada, United States, across the whole of Europe, to the outback of Australia, where these things are also appearing. And that, I think, is a reasonably fair representation of their situation, too. In the 20%, you don't have the damaged plants. You don't have the tracks in. You don't have the pins. The plant analysis, which I really leave to others. I'm not a plant expert. But the 20%, the more simple designs, also falls into the category that Levengood has a BLT group have tested with their plant analysis and comes up pretty well that they can't find any unusual.
Okay, we can talk about
supports the real phenomenon.
We can talk about Levengood in the next half hour,
yeah.
And then a number of other things that I want to raise with you. So we've only just touched the beginnings of crop circles here, but as you can tell from my discussion with Colin Andrews, here is a man who has a tremendous body of information about what we will call the great misunderstood paranormal mysteries. So you stay tuned, please, as we move along. And I am Hilly Rose, sitting in for vacationing George Norrie. And my guest is sitting in for George Norrie, of course. My guest is Colin Andrews. And Colin, two quick things before we get too deeply into another subject. You mentioned in passing your website, and you didn't say what it was. And people, of course, can go to the Coast to Coast AM website and just hit the Colin Andrews name, and it'll go directly to your website. But for people who don't want to bother with that, do you want to just give your website?
Yes, thanks, Hilly. It's www.CropCircleInfo, standing for information, CropCircleInfo.com. So that's CropCircleInfo.com. And we've got a coast-to-coast button, excuse me, which has been put on there for tonight, which will lead the listeners directly to the backup information to support the things that I'm telling you tonight.
Okay. Now I'm going to throw something at you. This is probably very unfair of me, but I just...
Be unfair to me then, Hilly. Go on.
No, you're being very forthright tonight. I came across this on a catalog, and I thought I'd just throw this at you, and if you don't want to answer it, you don't have to. But a guy by the name of Paul LaViolette, I think is the way he pronounces it, is coming out with a new book called Decoding the Message of the Pulsars, in which he says that pulsars, I'm trying to, because I haven't read the book, obviously, it isn't even out yet. He says the pulsars emit laser-like radio beams that penetrate through space, much like searchlight beams. He says that these beams, these pulsars, using force field beaming technology, are forming the crop circles. Now, he's got a whole book coming out on this. According to the publisher, he's been studying pulsars for over 25 years. Now, I know you can't tell me tonight what is causing these crop circles specifically, but do you have a feeling about what LaViolette is saying?
Well, it is only a feeling. As you also said, you haven't read, as I haven't read the book. I most certainly will do. I would immediately have grave doubts that he has, in fact, put his finger on the hot button, as it were, and that the reason that I do is that we have looked, I say we, that's the royal we, Dr. John Auburn in particular, who is well better qualified than I as a physicist, a PhD in the subjects that get very close to this. And he's looked at the laser, certainly. Because we've been looking at microwave as being a possibility here at levels that are sufficient to cause the plant collapse. But there's a difficulty with this, because if you come from above, you're looking at pulsars and lasers and high temperature creating energy fields. From above, I have no problem with creating a pattern, depending upon, of course, the distribution and the mechanisms that are used from above. But lateral movement is where I think your problem comes in. We're looking at plants that are moved from the vertical to the horizontal, all in one, and indeed sometimes multidirectional, it's true, but in an organized fashion. There has to be lateral movement. And it's hard for me to imagine that a pulsar from above, beamed in an organized shape, can create lateral movement. Plant collapse is not a problem. You can burn plants from above, and you can have them collapse randomly, but into an overall geometry. But when you're looking at intricacy within the design, like we see now, flowers and petals and goodness knows what, that kind of accuracy, I cannot feel you're going to create with plants that are moved into one particular position, left, right, clockwise or anticlockwise from above. I would doubt that this is going to go to fly. But doors are always open. You know, people have to be able to present their findings and their theories.
Yeah. Well, he apparently in this book, which isn't coming out until May, by the way, he indicates that these pulsars are in they're communicating with the universe. And they are sending us messages via crop circles. But you don't have to comment anymore. I have so much to talk to you about tonight. So give me a couple of moments here, please, and we'll get right back to Colin Andrews. Hilly Rose in for Vacationing George Norrie. Colin, we're talking to Colin Andrews, And Colin, I want to talk about Operation Blackbird. I want to talk about the movie. But before I do that, there's just so much I want to talk to you about. What are you doing for the next 6 or 7 hours, Colin?
I'm here.
Okay. You mentioned Professor Levengood. And I don't want to get into a whole long thing about the work that he does. But for those who are not in the know, he studies these crop circles. Or he studies the wheat or whatever, the flax, whatever it is, and he finds that there's an energy. And I won't get into the whole thing, but what I wanted to know here is there a difference? Has Professor Levengood studied the difference in the crops that are man-made, that we know that are man-made, and those that we don't know where they come from?
Yes, he has, and I'm certainly not going to dodge answering any of your questions, Hilly. But where it gets a little difficult, and certainly highly controversial, is here, right here, because it's actually a Mr. Levengood, as far as he is a biophysicist,
and professor.
I think I did say Dr. Levengood.
Well, but, Professor.
However,
Levengood.
Just to be correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he has, is the answer. But the results that have come back from some of the designs where he was blind tested, unbeknown, of course, that means unbeknown to him, he was given samples that were filmed being made by people. It sounds like an awfully dirty trick to do on anybody, but, if we're taking this subject seriously and we're really wanting to know the bottom line, then we have to go for the bottom line tactics eventually to be certain that we're looking at the real good stuff. And I was instrumental in, under the Rockefeller funding period, in sending samples with a group that he was working with to him, quite legitimately, I feel, as it's double blinding the scientist. And regrettably, what came back was a mix of this result, it shows that this is the real thing. In fact, some of the best results we've seen from the genuine, mysterious crop circle, when in fact, this particular one that I'm now referring to was filmed being made in front of my own people and in front of a camera that we had running. We had another, a farmer show us where some lodging had taken place due to heavy rain the night before. It had flooded off of a nearby highway and flattened the plants into an approximate geometry, just simply the design that was carved out by the flowing water. And those plants also were sent away as an area of lodging, and that came back also as a real crop circle. So I have problems, and it is now, of course, public knowledge that I have problems with some of the BLT work. But it's always a very difficult area because it sounds like it's personal, and it isn't personal. I have the greatest respect for the people that have done the work there and continue to do the work. I know how hard it is in a subject which is full of controversy. You've only got to say crop circle and you've got ETs and UFOs, around your feet immediately. So I do respect absolutely that these people are trying to do a good job. But where it is wrong, where the results are wrong and they don't support any particular theory, where the results are so mixed, we need to be very straight, very frank with it. It's where politics so often go wrong. We need to be truthful. And that's why the blind testing took place.
Okay, so basically the bottom line here is you really can't tell.
I do not believe so, but I'm sure if you had Nancy Talbot on and Mr. Levengood himself, they would give you all of the very the reasons to support the fact that they can.
Okay.
But I have certainly documented proof where in that period of time they could not. So I still need to be shown personally, and who am I? But I haven't seen personally any scientific proof, apart from the magnetometers, that really nail this as being, here's the definitive scientific result, where forever now we will know the real from the man-made.
Okay, so that gets us back anyway to what we talked about originally in the basis of whether it's man-made or not, is it other-directed? So, what is the main force behind it all? But let's move along here if we can, because the main reason I asked you on the program tonight is Operation Blackbird, information which you have not revealed for many, many, many years. You've kept the information secret.
Yes.
Why, you can tell us the story in a moment, but why have you withheld the information, and why are you now willing to reveal it?
Well, people that know me, Hilly, people that know me very well in my family, close friends, know that really I have difficulty in keeping secrets. I wear myself on my sleeve, as it were, and that's the way I prefer to be.
Yeah, but this one you've kept for 15 years
or
more.
Yes, it has. This has troubled me greatly, and I've been very conscious of the fact that I believe there were important things, and I know there were important things that took place at Blackbird in 1990, that the Crossical Research Fraternity should know about. And the reason that I have not up until now, and tonight, to be frank, is the big test. Obviously, this will be monitored. Every word is being listened to, and we'll know probably tomorrow morning whether I was wise in saying it now. As you know, you were in the audience in San Francisco, where I have already stated in public some of the information that I'm about to say with a little more.
Yeah, but why have... Okay, what, you don't keep secrets, but you kept this one. Why?
The reason was that I was asked to pass a videotape to the majority funder of that operation, which was Nippon Television in Japan. They had 90% funded Operation Blackbird, and the reason they did this was to show on international television. They would have the film rights to a crop circle actually forming, if we were lucky enough to be in the right place. And we had every reason to believe, which I'll tell you about. Excuse me, I'm just drinking here at the same time, that we were in the right place to
have
a bit of luck.
Don't get into the story. Why did you keep it secret? Was it proprietary rights, as you're starting to tell me?
I was asked to hand this tape over, which did not contain a crop circle forming, and was claimed to have been the tape that would have had it on. In other words, the real tape, which had a crop circle forming on it, was removed, and I personally have never seen that again since. The reason that I kept that secret was clearly that I was put in an invidious position of knowing that I had done something wrong to the majority funder. If I had said anything at the time, the project would have been scuttled. And even now, that there is the involvement of the military in Operation Blackbird, which I am going to be discussing more in more detail tonight, a secret operation which was going on apart from Blackbird, which was the right hand the public were allowed to see when the left hand was doing something else around Silbury Hill.
Okay, and so this was the British government you're talking about?
Yes, we're talking here about the British military and intelligence community that had that operation completely sealed up. They knew exactly what was going on. They issued D notices on the media, which the media know. BBC television personnel have privately asked me what on earth went on at Blackbird. They were issued a D notice from the Ministry of Defense to stop all broadcasts for 2 hours, and I know the reason to that.
Okay, now I've got 5 minutes before I have to, you know, go to the top of the hour here. So in those 5 minutes, can you briefly tell me what Operation Blackbird was?
Yes.
and the duplicity of the government and military?
Well, it's very hard to keep brief. There's so much that happened. But in brief, I'll do my very best here. There was a crop pattern formed in front of all of the cameras. That tape went missing. It was removed from the site, and a duplicate was inserted into the system, which showed what they wanted it to show.
Who is they? The military?
If I had named people, I think it's still very unwise for me.
I'm not asking for names broadly. Somebody did this.
Somebody representing the military is what I have to say, I think.
Okay, go ahead.
A real crop circle formed on the 3rd or 4th of August when the media had been removed from the site. That tape, too, was removed from the premises. It was alleged that it resurfaced later and that frames from that footage are in a CD which is, as of tonight, being made available to the public on that website that I gave you, the Blackbird CD. the secret operation, which is actually, of course, much more important than what was happening at Westbury in Wiltshire, which was the public were intended to see. What was happening a few miles away around a very important site, which is Silbury Hill near Avebury in Wiltshire. It has the record. It is the pedigree. It's where real things are happening and where the military are aware of just about everything that moves over there. Over there, during Operation Blackbird, three designs appeared, a triangular formation, the very first ever recorded on the planet, appeared there. The military filmed a bright ball of light. I've seen that footage, and frames are also on the Blackbird CD, which is now available on that website and was shown in San Francisco, as you know. That is the very brief outline of Blackbird, but there is much, much more. On the night of...
Let me stop for just a second here so we all understand.
Yeah.
How can you possibly know where a crop circle is going to be formed?
Well, by the record. What we had in setting up Blackbird and the secret site, which incidentally, Hilly, I should make this position very clear. I was involved in discussions as to where the two primary sites should be. I was not at all aware, and not for weeks after, was I aware of how extensively the SAS and special services, military services in England, had been involved in the secret operation. Even people that I am still in touch with in the military seconded to the Princess Royal Barracks in Deep Cut that surrounds the Queen and the royal family. I'm still in touch with those people who were involved in part of this. When they arrived at Silbury Hill, which the public were not aware of, they themselves were surrounded in everywhere they looked by special services. These people were monitoring everything. And now the reason we had selected those two sites was that looking at the pins in the maps, in other words, the reports of where crop circles formed year after year, year after year, starting in 1983, although pretty certainly it began in earnest in 1976, we had the locations, and those locations repeated and repeated and repeated. And then we had eyewitness accounts, one of which, an important one, was Ray Barnes at Westbury in 1981. And we have film of disc-shaped objects in the same place. Busty Taylor took a unique one of within feet of myself and Pat Delgado, and again, that is on that CD.
Okay, let me just understand this, because I only have a minute. You're saying that you sort of had a hunch where these crop circles were going to make themselves.
That's right, where they appeared over the years before.
You filmed these crop circles. No human was there in the field making these. They were somehow made, and this film was stolen by someone.
It was removed.
It was removed, and a blank tape was inserted.
No, not a blank tape. The tape that was given into the system as for analysis was from the same camera position as the one that captured the event, but it was filmed several nights before. In other words, it was known to have the same topography, the same landscape, but it had a different event.
Okay, I'm going to have to stop right here. We're going to have to hold over into the next hour to find out why you think this is significant, because it's very, very strange, Colin, I must tell you. So we will do just that. It's sort of a cliffhanger, or a Colin hanger, as it would be. I am Hilly Rose, sitting in for Vacationing George Norrie.